Welcome to Toffee Blue View, your source for all things Everton. I'm Jerry. There's Edward. There's David. So for all you podcasters out there, here's what today's show is going to look like. We're going to start off with our Arsenal reaction and then transition pretty quickly into the situation with our manager, or should we say former manager? And then we'll go into your fan thoughts, because let's be honest, you have a lot that you're thinking about our manager situation, and you've made yourselves heard loud and clear, all right? And lastly, we'll get you prepped for the Chelsea match that's coming up on Wednesday in the Carabao Cup, Chelsea away. So we're going to jump right in to our Arsenal reactions, because it's a thing that happened yesterday. And we need to get to it. Both of you guys were actually at the game. Okay? Yeah. So I want to hear from you guys because, yeah, I can only know so much from being at home in front of a TV. It's a lot of hemming and hawing, guys. You guys you're not happy, are you?
No. Yeah, it was just another classic kind of this year performance. It felt like everybody knew what was coming afterwards. It was just, again, these days we seem to say we played well and we still conceded about 5 or 6 shots on target that probably should have been goals. Arsenal probably could have been 3-0 up after about 10-12 minutes. But Rooney scored a good goal against the run of play, which ironically was on the anniversary, 15 years anniversary since he scored that goal against Arsenal in the Park End, which was quite fitting. But yeah, so we thought, oh, maybe this is where everything turns. But sadly, it just turned to shit. excuse the language. The equaliser coming, I think from there we all knew it was very unlikely Everton were going to get anything out of the game. And you know, a few strange decisions, tactical decisions later, a stupid red card, and you know we finished 5-2 defeat. Right. Yeah, it was a toxic atmosphere again at Goodison at the end.
All right, Edward.
I mean, to be honest, there wasn't really that. The atmosphere was all right, but everybody saw it coming. Everyone knew this was going to happen. I mean, I said myself that I think it would either go one of two ways. We'd either get a lucky goal in the last couple of minutes like we did last year, win 2-1, or we'd get completely annihilated and lose like 3-1, something like that, which obviously was the latter. So I had hope even when they equalised, because we'd look good, or we'd look defensively good, I should say, with the kind of formation thing that he was doing. But as soon as that red card happened, that was it. Game over.
Yeah.
I think, but yeah, tactics were just wrong. Sitting back, trying to absorb pressure and counter against Arsenal, doing the whole long ball forward is not going to work. So doing the tall defence they've got, it's not going to work. So
that's certainly not Calvert-Lewin's strongest point, is he's not what you call a hold-up striker.
Nope.
No.
So, yeah.
Usually when Calvert-Lewin comes back to receive the ball, instead of holding somebody off, what he likes to do is literally tap the ball backward and try to outrun the player to it so he can kind of turn around and get some space. Because he's not going to hold them off without getting space and like running away from them. You know, Lukaku used to be able to, when he learned how to hold up, which it took him a while to learn, he could get them on his hip and kind of hold them off, kind of like Duncan Ferguson used to do. He knew he had to do that, but it took him a while to learn how. Calvert-Lewin's just not strong enough for that yet.
Yeah, I think it is a physique thing, isn't it? Calvert-Lewin isn't really built in that way. And I mean, I was talking to a mate of mine, a good lad, Paul, and he pointed out that although Calvert-Lewin was working very hard, he wasn't necessarily looking much of a goal threat, was he, yesterday at any point?
So let's kind of get a little bit more specific, because my questions will kind of betray how I was feeling a bit. Okay, so Was the initial setup, I mean, Edward, you've delved into this a little bit already, but the initial setup with running three in the wing back, so initially five at the back, was that immediately a mistake?
It feels as though, although we've been so rigid all season in playing very similar formations and kind of putting different players in there and hoping for a different result each time. And yeah, and that's one criticism. I've got many, but one that stands out for me with Koeman is when things were going bad, I never felt like he was really trying to change things or try something new to try and get out of the hole he was in. It was always very much, right, well, should we go with that three the back formation with the wing backs, or should we go to the four the back and put a few centre backs out at left and right back? And I think it's proven it was wrong. It's been wrong all season, which is why we're not picking up results.
I think the whole thing with it as well was just nobody, you could see straight away that nobody sort of like knows what they're doing in that sort of formation either. Like the three centre backs, Keane, I remember seeing this actually right in front of me. Keane was just like almost just like dozing between the two parts of either marking Sanchez or staying sort of like in the right back position so that Kenny go forward. He just didn't know, and like all three of them really didn't know what to do with themselves. It's only really when we went to four at the back, we looked a little bit more solid, like a little more composed, and because we already knew we've been in that formation before. And I've always said, if we copy formations that players and teams are used to, while we're not used to it, it's just going to backfire for us.
Right.
Straight away. Always happened against Chelsea, Spurs, and now Arsenal.
Okay. So, guys, we got 3 minutes, all right? it's flown by, right? So let's try to go a little quicker. I actually didn't mind the setup. I'll just tell you right now. I didn't mind the setup because I thought we were in the game. If we could somehow keep them out, the fact that we got an early goal and I didn't think... I thought we might have been able to pull... You remember what we did against Man United? The way we kind of just deflected, and we stayed in it until the end collapse? I thought that we could maybe do that. We did not, but just saying, I thought it wasn't outside the realm of possibility. At halftime, I wasn't completely depressed at halftime. You guys at halftime, how are you feeling?
It just felt like we were waiting for it to come, to be honest.
Really?
There was that uneasy feeling about Williams and Gay because they both picked up yellows and were putting some heavy challenges in.
True.
So it was going to be interesting to see how that gone. It did feel as if we were waiting for that red card to come for one of them.
Right.
I think, but you know, there's an interesting fact. Koeman made about 7 half-time substitutions in his last like 3 or 4 games, something like that, which just shows he's not confident with it.
Right. He doesn't know his strongest team.
I actually at halftime I was feeling okay. It's funny, maybe there's something in the stadium that does something if everybody else is also really pessimistic, you know, because I was by myself. Well, I wasn't, my family was around me and they were happy Rooney scored. But that's what I've got around me. Maybe that made me feel better. I don't know.
I think sometimes you can just pick a little bit more on what's going on across the pitch. And you can maybe just see a few signs when things maybe aren't right.
It's probably the away fans as well, adding to it.
Okay.
The bit of their input as well. Like you can just tell they're more up for it. The players are going to be more up for it on their side.
So we don't have much time left. Let's really quickly delve into this Sport Pesa nonsense. The fact that they tweeted out something about how many goals they scored on us, and it was really inappropriate. Today they issued an apology, basically saying, hey, we screwed up, sorry, we really do respect our Everton partnership. You guys holding any grudges on this, or does it even matter?
No, it doesn't matter to me, to be honest. I mean, they're sponsors of Arsenal, so it makes sense for them to do it. I mean, all right, may have done it at sort of like the wrong point, but it's just a tweet at the end of the day. They deleted it and apologised, so...
Yeah, I think it was just a major kind of PR disaster, but I mean, I think we've got more important things to worry about, haven't we? But, yeah, it was a disaster on their part, but they've acknowledged it. Hopefully they'll throw a few more quid our way to apologise, and that'll do.
I'm not really all that upset about it. I just know a lot of people were. So, final thoughts, really quickly. Throw me some really fast positives. Edward.
Pickford.
That's a good one. David.
We might not see that performance again for a while.
That is acceptable. I'm going to say the fact that Kenny got some game experience.
Premier League. He got full 90 minutes, didn't he?
He did. He did. Yeah. So he just needed that. It's valuable experience for him, even though sometimes he sort of disappeared for a while. He wasn't the most out-of-place player on the pitch. That's what I'll say.
And Rooney scored a very good goal. Give him some credit for that. It was a good finish. Come with the right time as well.
I shook the walls of my tiny house. It was nice. Yeah, sadly, that feeling didn't last long.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll wrap up on this Arsenal reaction because we have other things to discuss. Yes, we do. We need to jump to the topic, all right, because this is a big day for Everton supporters, all right? Koeman has left us.
Jeez, that sounds like he's died.
I know. That's the problem. I was trying to think about a way for it to not sound like he's died, but, you know.
I mean, could have just said left the club.
I mean, it was getting pretty close at the end there.
I mean, he started going really grizzled, you know, as far as the beard. Yeah. These Everton coaches, whenever they're struggling, they just tend to look like they've been at sea for a while. The Koeman era is over. All right, Everton put out a statement this morning saying that he has left the club and they thanked him for his just over a year of service, about a year and a half, I guess. I'm glad they thanked him and everything. What's funny, guys, is that right before this, earlier in the day, BBC had come out and said, well, Koeman's at training. Yeah. Looks like he's going to be in charge for Chelsea.
So, I got wind. So the Twitter rumours are going around that he kind of, it was business as usual at his end or with his representatives anyway. But Mashiri was the one who made the decision, and it was Ken Wright and Elstone who delivered the news. So he may have actually got up this morning thinking it was business as usual, and he had a few more games to kind of turn it around. But I think thankfully for all parties, that wasn't the case.
So the impression here is that Koeman woke up this morning still having the job, or he thought he still had the job. Are we also under the impression that the decision was actually made last night and they just delivered the news today?
You could see in Ken Wright's face that, I mean, they showed a clip of him yesterday. you see that? It's with Mashiri. They show him. Mashiri and Ken Wright together, obviously they're not going to be happy watching the match. Ken Wright said just like that. Mashiri sees the camera and just goes, back and then looks back at the match. But I think that was probably one of the moments where they decided, right, enough is enough. It's done.
That's worth noting. He doesn't actually go to every game, Mashiri, does he? So, I mean, it was a big game, so maybe that's why. But on the other hand, you could say he probably went down there knowing that, or up here, sorry, knowing that if the defeat come, maybe the decision was to be made.
So the deal is done. Koeman is on a plane or however he chooses to travel.
I heard he took the train in this morning.
The train? Huh. All right. Well, so he's gone. So questions. Let's start thinking ahead. Do we improve immediately?
Yes.
Yes.
Immediately. Like Wednesday.
Like 100%, I am more confident we can get results at Chelsea now than I would have been without Koeman.
Well, you see, I know a Chelsea fan, he's actually bricking it a bit now, because normally when interim managers come in, they seem to do a good job in their first game.
They do.
And of course, first game away to Chelsea.
Yeah.
I think we're going to go in with a different attitude. And I think our away fans are going to be crazy.
Yeah.
I'm psyched to see it on TV. because that's how I have to see it. Oh, wait, it may not even be on TV here. I may have to look at it on the interwebs.
Oh,
yeah.
Dodgy streams.
I don't even know what you're talking about with dodgy streams. I don't know what you mean.
Yeah.
So if we think we improve immediately, questions. If Unsworth does well, because we are under the assumption that Unsworth is going to be the guy, right?
Yeah, I think it may have even been announced. I'm not too sure.
Because it wasn't a little while ago when I was looking, I was searching, but it may be now. But if he does well, let's pretend like he puts together a string of wins and positive performances and results. Okay? Is there a chance he stays?
I personally would not want him to.
And I don't think David wants him to either. Yeah, that's...
I think... I just don't think it's ever... And I can't think off the top of my head of an example. There will be one, I'm sure, but I can't think of an example where an interim has come in, done well, got the job full time, and then been a success at the club. It doesn't seem to happen. They seem to have this burst of new energy where they win games, and then they, like, look at Craig Shakespeare. He's probably on par with what Unsworth is. Well, he's got more coaching experience, actually. He's just been sacked last week.
If you know of any successful interim managers, put them down in the comments below.
I had to, Alec,
that'll do that.
I had to kind of give Everton the stiff arm, because I told him, look, I'm coaching my 5-year-olds. I have to wait until their season is finished, and then I will talk to you. Okay? But the 5-year-old
just son, then, you just know? Then, I've taken them.
Scratch, mate.
I've taken them to Champions League final in FIFA, so I do have experience.
Let's just lobby for the job right now, guys. The whole rest of the show, we're just lobbying for each other.
You can have a two-minute kind of slot each to try and say why we deserve to be Everton man.
Oh, no.
I've been an Everton fan since the day I was born, unlike Jerry.
But I'm really old, Edward. I'm 39, so it almost averages out. You know what I mean? It's like 12 or 13 years difference. All right. So anyway, we basically said that I actually am not completely against Unsworth staying if he puts together a solid run. Because as long as, but if we're looking crap, obviously let's get someone else in. If he puts together a really solid run, I'm not completely against it. I don't know. Here's the thing. And it may be different in Premier League, and this is a stupid example. So, you know, talk the jive if you want, but there's back in the day, American football, the New England Patriots had a starting quarterback and they were doing okay. He got hurt and Tom Brady was his replacement. Tom Brady came in, started winning a bunch of games. The former quarterback comes back and he's healthy and the coach says, "No, dude, you stay." Because Tom Brady was doing so well and now he's a Hall of Fame guy and they win championships all the time. All right? Only because but the thing is, that's an American sport and that's a player. Okay? Yeah, it's not the same thing.
Yeah. I think you can kind of influence a game more. Like, a manager is, you know, can only influence the game so much, and it's only a minute amount that a player is obviously out there on the pitch doing the business. I'd respect Unsworth more even if he did have a good run if he said, "Listen, guys, I'm not ready for the job the size of Everton right now." You know, further down the line, I'd love it. But if he did step aside for somebody else, I would respect that more.
See, the whole thing I think behind it, having met the guy, he seems like he really cares about Everton. So he knows he's probably going to want to do the right thing. And I personally think I don't want him to do permanently, because if he does do it permanently, there's more of a chance of him getting sacked and not being able to join the club again.
That's true.
So if he's an interim manager, he can always come back into the management whenever, if we ever lose a manager. So
that's true.
I'm sure I personally would rather be doing that.
Yeah.
Because then at least it means you're constantly linked with Everton. You're doing well.
Just need to go out and learn your trade before coming to a Premier League club. I think that's it. Mm. Simple as that.
So the thing that gets me thinking is when I think, okay, you could keep Unsworth if he's doing well, or you can let him have a little run to get him some experience and bring in someone like Tuchel, okay, who we completely forgot to talk about in our manager special.
Did we?
Yes, someone commented on our video. He wasn't on our list of like odds-on favorites. I don't know why, because there's rumors we've already talked to him.
Mm.
Okay, so should have talked to him. That would have been one of my top. All right.
That's the ironic thing. He is probably in my top two or three. Easy.
Yeah.
Shot.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's in mine as well. Okay. Let's just all admit we had a bit of a boo boo there.
We were going off the odds on favourites, though, wasn't we?
Yes, we were.
No. So blame it's the bookmakers, it's not us.
Maybe they suspended betting on him because they thought he was going to be one of the favourites.
Potentially, mate.
Aha! Yeah.
And that's why he wasn't in there.
So when I think about the fact that maybe we could get him in instead earlier by not giving Unsworth a longer run, it kind of changes my opinion a bit. You know? Mm. So how long till a new manager comes in, guys?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, like you say, it all depends with Unsworth.
Let's guess. Yeah. Let's guess.
2 months. No.
Maybe 3 or 4 weeks.
Hmm.
I'm going to say 3 or 4 weeks.
Start of December. I'm going to say start of December. Just.
I'm going to say 26 days.
Nice. Nice and precise. Well, I'm going to go 25.
I'm going to go tomorrow.
I do think it'll be longer than 2 weeks, to be honest. I agree with you guys. I think it's going to take a while. Not at all.
If we got to stay the interim manager there, let's just make sure we get the right guy in.
That's right.
He has actually got 100% win ratio, hasn't he?
Yeah.
This is true. So, guys, last question. We got to go fast. Will Koeman do well in his next job?
I have the utmost respect to him, and I hope he does. I think he's a stand-up guy. He's truthful, honest, and I wish nothing but the best of luck for him.
What do you think, David?
No. I think he comes in and does quite well, but if you look at his managerial record, he's been sacked by a few clubs now. I think there's a reason. I think he was a fantastic player, but maybe not the best of coaches. Mm. I think he's nailed on for that Holland job, to be honest. I think that might be a perfect suit for him.
I agree.
I think he'll do well there.
Yeah.
But they always say that the best players like in the world or anything like that will not do great at management, but the best managers are normally some of the worst players.
Mm.
Look at Guardiola and Enrique, or Ancelotti. They were great players when they were younger, but... Mm. Good managers now.
Hmm.
I mean, unless your name's Zinedine Zidane, in which case you seem to do all right at Real Madrid as a player and coach. Yeah, but
that's
Real
Madrid. That's Real Madrid.
True. Yeah.
It's really. Sorry, go ahead.
No. I was going to say I'm like Edward. I wish him well, but yeah. I don't think he'll do well.
I wish him well, and I actually think he'll do okay. He has a tendency. If you look at his record, it's not precisely every other year or every other job he bombs, but it's not it's kind of similar to it. He usually has a run of success and then he's crap. Mm. And then he goes to a new job and then he'll have another run of success. You know what I mean? So yeah. I don't know. I think it's his time to have a little success. It was just a bad match.
Yeah.
Bad match. And you know the best thing about this is I think Ross is going to come back now.
Yes. I'm Ross. Yeah, we need him. Need him. Listen, Ross, we want you back.
Yes,
please,
we do.
Please, Ross, if you're watching, please.
Come on. Not that you'll be watching our show, but maybe you should be. But yeah, we want you back.
I think you'll be surprised.
back.
Just really quick before we finish up. What does everyone think of Koeman to West Ham? Those early reports?
You're joking.
No, this is simply fans linking themselves to the manager, but I'm curious to think if he got taken the Premier League job that quick.
I don't think he will.
I'd love to see what imagine Payet was still there. Whole thing with him and the attitude problems, I'd have loved to have seen that.
I don't think it's going to be higher. I don't think it's going to happen, to be honest with you. I don't know. Tell me if I'm wrong, but don't West Ham supporters sort of think their club is pretty equal to ours?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, there's a whole thing, yeah.
You know, isn't that a big internet, Twitter, blah, 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 you know what I mean?
Yeah. I just try and stay out of all that because this my club's bigger than your club stuff is just pathetic. But, yeah, they seem to hold themselves very highly for a team who's never won the league in their existence.
So, and renting a stadium.
So it stands to reason to me that if they're kind of, you know, thinking they're above us, why would they take a manager we just sacked? You know?
Yeah. That's the thought process I had, but I do see a few West Ham fans on my Twitter feed, and they were really up for it. So I don't know, more fool them.
Yeah. If it works, you know, if you're down with it, good luck. Just don't.
Yeah. Well, now you've just jinxed it, and if he goes to West Ham, they're going to win the league. Well done.
Hey, he was good in our first season too.
Go by. They're not going to win the league. They never do.
They're going to get hammered.
Wordplay. All right, so we're gonna wrap this up now. Kuman is gone. Good luck, Ronnie. We hardly knew ye. After the big news about Kuman leaving, we decided maybe we need to get some of your thoughts. We're going to lend an ear to our fellow supporters in fan thoughts. However, there were some trends to your thinking. So let me read these out loud, and then the three of us will just kind of respond. All right? The first one, Famous EFC says, "Happy, that's my thoughts." Reese SMC says, "He's gone. Now all Evertonians are hoping for is wins. Get us back up the table." Okay, Luke Boyle. Luke Boyle 17 says, "About time we got rid." BUB30, sure, said, "Just didn't select the right team." And then Matthew Douglas Elliott, the man with three first names. He's back, and he says, "To be honest, I wanted him to succeed at Everton. I thought he would have done great things, but it turns out he couldn't do it, not finding his perfect 11, changing week in, week out. In the PL, you can't do that, and to me, that's why he failed." Next, Max.N21 says, "Happy he's gone, and hopefully Ross will sign a new deal now." That's right, Ross. Hopefully you will. Next. "I like him as a manager, but he got it wrong. I think he needed to go. Just wasn't the right fit anymore. Best of luck to him. And even more luck to the next manager." And that's from Yannick Mendelez. Are you seeing the pattern, dear listeners and viewers?
I think there's a few happy people up there today.
Everybody's rejoicing. It doesn't seem like people really wish him ill.
No.
You know?
No.
So do we feel like this drug on as long as the Martinez thing?
No.
No, it didn't. But the Martinez thing coming up. See, the difference is the Martinez thing. We had a really good cup run in the League Cup, and we had a good run in the FA Cup as well, which kind of maybe bought him a little bit more time when we were struggling in the league, where there's obviously the Europa League has just been dire. The League Cup, we've only beat Sunderland, and we've got Chelsea next. So I think they learnt a lot from the Martinez time. Yeah, I think he made it the right call at the right time.
Okay.
Efficient. We were very efficient with it. Got it done straight away. Like, literally the day after.
Yeah, it was a...
New era, boys, new era.
I don't know. I actually thought it would drag on longer. if I'm honest. I agree with you guys. I do feel like the club learned from our last experience. Because that's one of the trends that I see on Twitter from the people that really seem to know what they're talking about. A lot of people on Twitter that I follow that are pretty wise, they seem to think that the front office needs to continue to be revamped. They need to continue to tweak PR and just kind of a lot of the administrative staff needs to keep being upgraded, you know?
We need to go back a big club mentality as opposed to the kind of mediocre size that we are at the moment if we want to win anything.
Yeah. Agreed. Something we haven't discussed, but I think we should. We now have lost Koeman, and where we're looking right now is not very positive because our results are kind of like that so far. One of the things everybody keeps talking about, what is that noise? Oh, my God.
Yeah. That's so annoying, mate.
One of the things we need to think about is come January, we'll have the money. But will anybody want to come to us since our results have been iffy? You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I think we've got an important maybe 2 months coming up now where we need to get back on track with performances and wins. And I think if we do, then everyone will still realise that we're a good side. We're still going in the right direction. We just had a really bad spell under a manager that lost his job.
Mm-hmm.
I think if we could go into January and we're maybe top 10 and, you know, somehow still in Europe, pretty tight,
right,
or doing well in other cup competitions, then, yeah, I still think we'll be appealing to some players.
I mean, if you look at the next fixtures we've got in November, right, well, we've got Leicester away, which I am going to, then away to Lyon, home to Watford, away to Crystal Palace, Atalanta, Southampton, West Ham, Huddersfield, Limassol, Liverpool, Newcastle, Swansea, Chelsea, West Brom and Bournemouth all before the January window.
Mm. So there's an opportunity. What was that, David?
There's points to be won there, yeah. Isn't there? There's games to be won.
Exactly.
There really are. It's an opportunity.
So this is the opportunity to put ourselves back in the window and say, hey, we're here.
That's true. That's very true. I mean, or it's an opportunity for us to look about the same. So it's kind of... One hopes. I mean, I think we're all three pretty positive guys for the most part.
Yeah.
So
I was going to say, Jerry, who was the one that was enforcing the positivity on me?
I know.
Say we're going to win the Arsenal game, you know?
I didn't say that. I said we're going to tie the Arsenal game and it's going to be a turd fest. That was pretty... I was pretty negative there, I'll be honest. Not that negative, but still. But I think we're pretty positive. I think we see this as an opportunity. I just get worried because... This summer, we still struggled to attract the strikers we wanted. And we were in Europa League, and we didn't go through this patch the way we just did. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm worried about it just because...
Maybe we were looking at the wrong names.
Yeah, we spent a lot of time after certain one or two players, didn't we? And
mm-hmm.
by the time we'd realised they weren't coming, it was kind of too late to work on anything else, so... Hopefully, they're doing something behind the scenes now and trying to get something lined up. Like,
right.
I noticed Giroud.
Steroids.
Did Giroud play at all yesterday?
No.
No,
so he didn't get subbed on.
He's sitting on the bench again, isn't he? And I think he'd be crazy not to come in January.
I agree.
I know you're not a fan.
Edward is ageist. I just want to tell our audience this. Edward doesn't like old people. He told me from the very get-go he doesn't like me and anyone over the age of 30. He doesn't trust us. No, I get what Edward's saying. He's just that if we buy Giroud, it's only buying for 2 years, essentially, which is pretty true. Okay?
We're in the exact same situation.
I know. Point taken.
Yeah, that'd be super- Years to build or work on someone else then, haven't you?
Yeah. So, anything else we want to do to address these fans' thoughts other than just say, we hear you and maybe it'll get better soon?
We agree with you.
Yeah. Plus, we're going to ask you a question. Who do you want to bring in? Leave it in the comments.
Yeah. Preferably, we're talking about a manager.
Yeah.
Not like some kind of, you know, hot movie star.
Yeah. And to Everton, not just to bring home or, you know, we want kind of Everton-related answers.
We got to preface this, because you never know what kind of responses we're going to get. Edward, you may have opened the Pandora's box. Well done. All right, let's wrap this up, guys. Let's talk Chelsea away, Carabao Cup. Hope I'm saying that right, because that's what we call it now. All right?
Yeah.
So, here's the deal. Let's talk about their form. Right now they're fourth in the table. I believe that's right. They're 5-1-3. They've won, let's see here, recently they beat Watford 4-2. I think they actually had to score two late goals to make that happen, or later goals.
Indeed.
And they've, in Champions League, they've won two and tied one. All right? Most recent was their tie. Okay? Obviously, they've got some dangerous players like Hazard and Willian and Morata and Pedro. They like to run that back three with the wing backs, like, every game. Yeah, it's weird to watch a team that plays the same formation often, like, every game. But anyway, so let's talk really quick about what we think Koeman's going to do. Or not Koeman. Koeman's not our manager anymore. Let's talk really quick about what Unsworth is going to do.
We think,
unless they bring Edward in, okay? So what we think Unsworth...
Don't call.
So,
what? Still waiting for that call.
Yep. Get with it, Everton. All right, so what's Unsie's team for Chelsea away?
I genuinely don't know.
Me neither.
No. It's one of those you just don't know what he's going to do.
All right,
I think he's going to play 4-4-2. I think he'll play people in their positions. I think he'll... We've got all back to basics.
Dear God, is that even possible?
Yeah, I believe so. I think Davis will start because we've missed him and he knows him well. You know where I think might start? In the ass. He played a lot of under Unsworth, didn't he, for the under-23s?
Kenny, Calvert-Lewin,
Luckman,
all possibilities as well.
Yeah.
Is Gay applicable or not?
No.
No, it's this one that he misses, isn't it?
Yeah, and no Schneiderlin as well.
Really?
Yeah, he's injured, isn't he?
I heard he was good for the Arsenal game.
Schneiderlin?
Yeah, I was sure they said something.
No, I don't think he was in the squad, so...
No.
That means we're going to have two different centre midfielders, say Davis as
well.
Maybe McCarthy. Two wingers, two strikers, you know, to tell you.
Okay, so all of us agree 4-4-2, because I do think Unsworth's going to be like, enough of the jibba-jabba, let's actually do it the way
let's
we know how.
This.
Yeah, I mean, he's not going to... He's like, enough playing around, let's just go with common sense. I just see that as what Unsworth is going to do. All right. So, yeah. So David, you kind of got through your team a little bit. Go through all of them.
Yeah. So Pickford and goal. I think Kenny will start right back. Two centre backs, maybe Williams and Keane or Jagielka. Oh, it's hard to say. One of them. Left back Leighton Baines. On the wings Vlasic and Luckman. I don't know if Vlasic is going to be injured, but let's presume he's not. Davis in central midfield with either McCarthy or maybe Fit Bessage up front, Rooney, and maybe Calvert-Lewin or Niasse.
Okay.
Right. Pickford, Kenny, Keane, Jagielka, Baines, Luckman, Morales, Niasse, and Calvert-Lewin.
Okay. All right, so I'll do mine really quick then, all right? Pickford, Kenny, Jags, Keane, Baines, Davies in the center. Let's see here. And you know what? I think he'll go Sigurdsson beside him. I think Vlasic on one side, Morales on the other. And then up front, Calvert-Lewin and Nias, because maybe Unzi's going to rest Rooney for now.
Yeah, which should be a smart decision.
Yes. All right, so guys, really quick, we need to predict the winners. We need to predict the score, okay? Just to wrap up, all right? Who wants to go first? Edward said he's going first. I'm psyched.
Right. Well, there's the whole thing with interim managers do great and win their first game, so I'm going to say us.
Hold on. Score?
Oh, don't do that to me.
We do it every game. Come on.
Right. With my heart, I'm going to say 2-1. With my head, I'm going to say we're going to draw and win on penalties.
I agree. I think Everton are going to win 2-0. I think Chelsea are not playing that great despite the win on the weekend. And Conte is under pressure. We've got rid of our manager. He's under pressure. So we're 2-0.
I'm sorry, you cut out a minute. What did you say at the end?
Everton are going to win 2-0.
Gotcha. Okay. I'm going to say 2-1. I think Everton's going to win 2-1. Okay? And I'm not going to say who's going to score because that will make me look dumber. So that wraps up today's show. If you've been listening via podcast, thank you very much. You should subscribe to our podcast, not just listen to it, subscribe. And that way it'll appear in your feed and all that other stuff. And you can be one of our regular listeners and you'll know when we're doing things. It will be cool. All right? Rate it too if you have that ability. If you're liking our videos, please subscribe, like, comment. Tell us who you think is going to win the game, for goodness sake. We can hear from you. All right? Please watch Edward's YouTube channel. Details are down there. Jam E. James. Check out...
Close to 200 subs.
Yep. He's really close to 200. All right? Check out David's articles, okay? You can find them on the Toffee Blues website and other places. Follow him on Twitter. He usually links it to him. All right? So, that is all we have. Good day to you, people.
Adios.